And I am pumped to have this conversation because it has been a minute or two since he has been on this show. He is NBC Sports lead golf analyst. He is the winner of the 1993 PGA Championship, a 12-time winner on the PGA Tour, captain of the 2008 Ryder Cup team, a Ben Hogan Award winner, also TaylorMade. Driving Relief, supported by United Health Group, starts Sunday at 2 p.m. on NBC, Golf Channel, and NBC Sports Network. It's a great event. We'll get into that. We are joined by Paul Azinger. Paul, it is so great to have you back. Before we get into the return of golf and Sunday's event, how are you, Paul, and everybody else around you doing in the middle of this pandemic?
Well, I hope everybody's well. Stay safe and mind your germ intake, I guess. We're all doing great, Romy. It's been a long time since I've been on the show. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This TaylorMade event is going to be a nice start to try to get things back to normal. It'll be a nice exhibition between four really good players on a terrific course. And we're lucky, though, that, you know, we can live in Florida and get outside. And the course is never closed here in Florida. The clubhouses did, but I think that's made a big difference for a lot of people. Golf has.
Zinger, it's great to have you back. Yeah, the event's going to be great. I want to ask you about that in a few moments, and then I'll follow up. But we are now 27 years removed from that PGA Championship win. As you look back, what do you remember, Paul, about that final round?
It was a pretty studly leaderboard. I wasn't in the last group. I was in the second to last or third to last group. Greg Norman had the lead. He'd won the British Open a few weeks before that, and but I was at the top of my game, Romy. I had 10 top threes or something in like 11 months going into that event with a few wins. I won Jack's tournament holing out of the bunker. And I was just confident. And not only that, I was the best player in the world not to win a major. So, you know, I had butterflies on Tuesday that week. I knew I was going to be in contention. Had a big gambling game. Fred Couples and I played Watson and Raymond Floyd, and we took them to task, I remember, on Tuesday. And it was just one of those weeks I just felt the pressure the day I left on the airplane to go out to the PGA Championship. And come Sunday, when I was there, it was almost it was like a desperation. You can do this. You've got to do this, you know. I just heard Justin Gaethje a minute ago. You know, he was willing to die to get in the ring, really. I believe him. I really do believe him. And I guess when you're playing, you get in a desperate place when you've had some chances to win and you let them get away. And here's another chance, and you're up against guys that got you in the past, you know, Norman and Faldo. It was a good leaderboard, and I just didn't want them celebrating at my expense, and thank goodness for me, I made enough putts. I think I shot four under the last nine holes. They said the last seven holes, actually, and got Greg in a playoff, but I tell you, I was cramping up, Romy. The pressure was real, and for me, it was, you know, it was all about the prestige. It's not to do with the cash at that point in the game. You know, you're just trying to make history, and you can't make history unless you win a major, and I think all those guys know that.
And that is such a great answer. Paul Azinger joining us. Just to recap that really quickly, Paul, you were regarded as the best player not to have won a major at that point, and then you're in a position, and again, on that leaderboard, you've got the likes of Greg Norman, Nick Faldo, Vijay Singh, Tom Watson, and then you did beat Norman in a playoff. What do you remember about the playoff itself?
My whole body relaxed in the playoff. I was dehydrated, though. I got a big calf cramp on number 10 green in the playoff, which is our second playoff hole. But my whole body relaxed. And, you know, I guess it relaxed. See, the challenge when you're in that kind of an intense pressure and you want to win so bad is can your body still react in a relaxed way when your heart's beating hard enough you can feel your pulse in your fingertips, you know? And that's what it's like. And so, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I was able to relax more in the playoff. Greg and I both could have made birdie on the first hole, and then I stuffed it in there on the second hole of the playoff and missed my putt. And then he ended up missing. It's a tough way for us to finish, but it was fun. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget it.
Paul Azinger, my guest. One more thought. Justin Gaethje, you mentioned you had heard the interview. When he said, I just am able to get comfortable with that adrenaline, that enormous release of adrenaline, and I'm prepared to die if that's what it takes. I think like any great athlete, you have to find a way to manage the moment, manage your emotion, and manage the adrenaline. How do you do that?
Well, you know, he said he trusts his trainer, his coach, you know, to save him, to save his life. Really, didn't he say that?
He did.
And you know, in some ways we trust our caddies enough to say, hey, you got to relax me. I'm so nervous I can't spit. And, you know, generally that relationship between player and caddy is a big deal, and it pays big dividends. When that, you know, you get a Stevie Williams and Tiger Woods combination, it was an intimidating duel, and they fed off each other, and those guys were hard to beat. So part of it comes from that relationship on the course. Of course, you have to be comfortable at home. You know, I got a great family, a great wife, and that helps. But, you know, in the end, you dig deep. You prepared your whole life to do this. You got to out-concentrate the field. You got to think the best. And, you know, when it comes down to me against you at the very end, you know, I just always relaxed and just I just don't want them to celebrate at my expense. And a lot of times they did, but at least they beat me when I was relaxed.
Paul Azinger is joining us. You know, Paul, obviously golf is only a part of your story. You did an interview with Golf Week recently, and you were talking about when you received your cancer diagnosis. Paul, I've mentioned this so many times over the years on the program, but cancer is something that we are all directly or indirectly connected to. Like, everybody knows somebody who has dealt with this, or everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. My father passed, he had leukemia, so I know what this is like to get that news. When you received your cancer diagnosis, what do you remember about that moment and what went through your head?
Yeah, that was a scary time. I mean, my shoulder hurt for a long time, Jim. It hurt for 6 months. Dr. Frank Jobe, the great orthopedic surgeon who invented the Tommy John surgery, was working with the tour, and he was the guy that showed the most concern about my shoulder, and everybody else kind of thought it was tendonitis or bursitis, but he did a bone scan, and it was actually after the Skins game I played in, 1993 Skins game, and then the week after that is when I found I had cancer, and he walked in the office and sat down, and my wife and I were there, and he says, I got bad news. And in his demeanor, you know, was such, he was just a soft, gentle man with a big, big reputation and voice. And the concern on his face struck me. And when he said, you have cancer, my wife and I were just silent. And I just said, well, how do you treat it? And he said, with chemotherapy and radiation. And I got up and went to the bathroom and threw up. I mean, it freaked me out. I was probably the hottest player in the world at the time. I mean, I'd had 11 top threes in 10 months, and I had 4 wins in that period, the Tour Championship and the Major and Jack's Tournament. And it was like, wow, just like that, I wasn't going to be at the Masters or the Tournament of Champions. My whole life was changing. And you just realize, I realized I wasn't really in control. And so I think priority-wise, you just learn to love each day as it comes. And if I can be an inspiration to people, I will, and especially through this COVID thing. We just got to love every day that we get and just, you know, put ourselves where we are. If, you know, I've got such a good situation, it's hard for me to give advice because I know there's a lot of people that they open their front door and they're in a hallway because they're in an apartment complex. It's tough on them, and we're just praying for them. But, you know, I got over it somehow. And thank goodness for chemotherapy and radiation.
You know, I so appreciate your thoughts on that, Paul. How about one quick follow? Like, what would you say to somebody who's listening right now who might have just received a cancer diagnosis and feel the way you did? Like, their world's been turned upside down. They're terrified. They're in shock. They don't know what to think or what to do now.
Well, it's real easy now because it's been 25 years, 27 years since my diagnosis. And I realize now that millions and millions of people are cured from cancer. They figured out how to cure cancer. It's unbelievable. In most cases, it has to be, you know, if it's caught early, it's very curable. I've had thousands of people come to me through the years and tell me that they've been cured from of cancer. The treatment might stink. It might last 6 months or a year, and they can prolong your life for 20 years and you can have cancer the whole time. They have leukemia pills now, and it's just so different than having to put a port in your chest and have the chemo drip in. So I would say to anybody that's diagnosed, they're probably going to get it. I mean, they usually will get this cancer if it comes. And if it's caught early enough, that's why you should go get screened. If it's caught early enough, cancer gets beat almost all the time.
Paul Azinger, my guest. I appreciate your thoughts on that, Paul. Sunday's event is going to pit Rory McIlroy against Ricky Fowler, Matthew Wolff in a four-ball skins game at Seminole. First of all, what do you make of the track? What do you make of the course?
Well, it's an old golf course. It was built in 1930, Seminole. They would have played this exhibition on a dirt road probably if you'd cut a hole in the ground for the kind of money they're going to make.
Right.
But they landed at Seminole, and it is where Hogan used to prepare to play the Masters. It's where Jimmy DeMeritt used to prepare. Jimmy DeMeritt was best friends with Jackie Burke, who's, you know, Steve Elkington's mentor. And Claude Harmon prepared there. He's got the course record 60. That's Butch Harmon's dad, Jim. And it is a wonderful Donald Ross golf course. There's no trees. It's beautifully kept, but it's got all kinds of sand dunes. It's lots of undulations. The greens are tricky. The ball scampers along, and it's going to be fun to watch them. I hope that it's light. You know, it is an exhibition. I think they're going to have a lot of fun out there. They're all going to be mic'd. We have 6 handheld cameras, which hopefully will give a great perspective of the golf course. And I think the whole world's dying to see the golf course. Anybody that loves golf, it's never been on TV before. This will be the first time that Seminole, always ranked in the top 15 in the world, and at one time was fourth best golf course in the world. And it's definitely in my top 5. This will be the first time it's ever been on television.
All right, so what do you make of the two teams? Do they feel like an even match to you?
You know, Dustin Johnson was hilarious yesterday. They asked him in the press conference about some British guy asked him about Rory McIlroy, and he said, what's your favorite thing about Rory McIlroy? What do you like about him the most? And what's the most memorable shot he's ever hit? He asked Dustin Johnson that, and Dustin said, well, everybody likes Rory, you know. I mean, he's a nice guy, super nice guy. He's a great golfer, but, as far as the shots, I can't, he thought about it for me, so I can't remember. I don't know. I can't. He's a great player. He's hit a lot of great shots. I don't remember one. And the British guy says, well, do you remember the 15-footer he made to beat you out of $10 million 2 years ago? And Dustin was like, oh, that's right. I forgot about
that.
And he totally forgot about it, I think, which cracked me up.
That is
I literally
funny.
Busted out laughing listening to that because I believed he had totally forgot. Either that or he was really just jacking with the guy asking the question. So, but those two are incredible to watch. Rory's, I think, the best player in the world. He's ranked number one, and it's deservedly so. He strikes it off the tee like nothing I've ever seen, really. Greg Norman kind of drove it like that, I guess, in our era. Tiger Woods at times. But what Rory can do with a driver separates him and sets him apart. He gives himself more wedge chances from short grass. Dustin Johnson's strength of his game is putting, is driving as well. And I think together, I mean, they should be impossible to beat, except Dustin hasn't played in like 30 or 40 days. And I think it just hit these guys yesterday that this is going to be a big, big deal. It's an exhibition match, but it's the first live thing on TV, and they're going to have some butterflies. The swings, how about the uniqueness of their 4 swings,
right,
by the way?
I like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. Matt Wolff, I heard Crenshaw say the other day, is forward press was like somebody shooting a slingshot where he kicks that whole right side in and then swings that club back to the top. It's a wonderful-looking technique. I think it's one of the coolest things going. And plus his name's Wolf, which is kind of cool. So he's a heck of a player. He won NCAAs and then his 4th tournament on the PGA Tour. Yeah, he won it eagling the last hole. He hits it a country mile, and he's been a good player for a long time. And people are asking him or questioning, writing, like, why is he in this? And I think it's put a little bit of a chip on Wolf's shoulder, and he's going to come into this exhibition kind of with a burden of proof maybe, and that'll be cool. It'll be nervous for him. I mean, this is a big deal for these guys to play in front of the cameras again. It's been a long time, and it's on a very tricky course. Ricky knows the course like the back of his hand. Wolf, at the top of his swing, his club is aiming 30 yards to the right of the target, maybe 20 yards to the right of the target. Ricky Fowler's club at the top of his swing is aiming 30 yards left of the target. I mean, their clubs are 50 yards apart at the top of their backswings. It's unbelievable. So I can't wait to watch these 4 guys go at it, talk about their techniques at times, but really just enjoy the golf course, see how they go around it. Hopefully the wind will blow, Jim, and we'll see a little carnage. I'd like to see one guy, maybe two guys play well. I was talking to my buddy a minute ago, but at least one or two of them have just a terrible day, because that's the kind of course that Seminole is. Those devilish bunkers are waiting for you. As soon as you hit an iron, it's not quite crisp. So maybe the course will be the star. And, of course, they're going to raise some real money. This isn't chicken feed. There's a lot of money that's going to get raised. And, you know, that's the bottom line.
I like it. Like I always say, Paul, give me an A or give me an F. I'm with you. Let's see a couple of guys just tear it up. And let's see somebody have some trouble. And, by the way, Matthew Wolf, he's got nothing to apologize for. I'm really into the fact that he's going to be there, and I'm anxious to see how he does. And I think that he will show up with a chip on his shoulder. The TaylorMade Driving Relief supported by United Health Group starts on Sunday at 2 p.m. It's on NBC Golf Channel and NBC Sports Network. Zinger, it has been way too long. I am so glad that you and I could finally get caught up proper, that you could come back in the jungle where you belong. And it's so good to hear your voice, Paul. I really appreciate that. That was a blast.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. I heard Digger Phelps today, and I'll tell you what, it was hard following that guy up. And this Gaethje, man, that was intense.
Dude, you've been logging some jungle time today, Paul. I appreciate that. Good looking out.
Yeah.
Listen, have a great time this weekend. We'll do it again soon.
Got it. See ya.
You got it. Great job, Zinger. Look at Paul, man, doing his homework. He heard Digger, he heard Gaethje, and said, man, that's a tough act to follow. Zinger's got no trouble following anybody. He's got it. Boy, he used to come on all the time back in the day. Always showed up like that, too. Great, great interviews. Three that I expected, one that I did not. We had Patrick Corbin. We had Justin Gaethje. I don't want Justin Gaethje to get lost in that either, because Zinger was so good. Zinger was so, so good. I don't want Justin Gaethje to get lost in that. Man, he showed up great. I'd never spoken to him before. And you never know exactly what you're going to get. Gaethje had one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in the octagon in beating Tony Ferguson. And it was great to have him on.